RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Thursday morning, always looking forward to Perigo's perspective for Thursday morning. Lindsay is back with us. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Well, I've been trying to get that Kamala cackle out of my head all week after last Thursday's perspective. That laugh has just drilled a hole into my brain. Oh, please, no, please.
Yeah. Oh, she's awful. Well, she's joined now by a partner in crime, this vice presidential pick, Walz, who's a stooge of the Chinese Communist Party. 30 trips to communist China. He taught school in China. He said they gave him more gifts than he could bring home. So whereas I talked about Beijing Biden in the past, now we have Wuhan Walz, Paul.
I love it. All right. Why am I not surprised? Why does none of this ever shock me? It never does. All right, Lindsay, let's do it. Let's hit the go button. Floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Well, I've not seen a lot of the Olympics. Much of what I have seen has been inspiring. Novak Djokovic winning his first Olympic gold was deeply touching, as were the sportsmanship and authentic tears of his irresistible opponent, Carlos Alcaraz, fresh from beating Novak at Wimbledon. Carlos, of course, will fight again many another day. For Novak, it was a superb culmination of a long and tumultuous career that eventually established him as the GOAT, greatest of all time. That titanic trio of Roger, Rafa, and Novak, what wealth to us the show has brought. What vindication for Novak in particular, after being banned from the American and Australian Opens at the height of Wuhan hysteria, because he heroically refused to take the poison, while hundreds of millions of lemmings dutifully submitted to unconscionable tyrants. His being cancelled, fortunately, proved to be a mere postponement, and when the hysteria had abated somewhat, he was able to resume his path to goathood. What a star! A friend of mine confessed recently that he was in the throes of his second bout of Wuhan, in spite of, or probably because of, being so-called vaxxed. I took great delight in paraphrasing Oscar Wilde. To get Wuhan once may be regarded as a misfortune. To get it twice seems like carelessness. He told me of a friend of his, vaxxed and boosted, who'd just got Wuhan a fourth time. At least, unlike so many others, they have both lived to tell the tale. Not such a star at the Olympics was the Algerian male boxer, who was allowed to compete in the women's boxing. Imain Khalif hit Angela Carini of Italy so hard that she, Angela, withdrew in tears after 46 seconds, forfeiting the match. The sack of excrement from the IOC, who made excuses the next day for the sick policy of allowing men to beat up women, a practice woke fascists pretend to abhor, was truly nauseating, with his woke platitudes about discrimination and respecting the feelings of the frauds. A doctor on Talk TV, René Hoendekamp, summed it all up very literally and with suitable outrage.
So only a man can have chromosomes that are XY. Women are XX, men are XY.
So is this not a trans woman then?
No.
Okay,
this
explain.
Is a man who likely has what's called DSD. So when he was born, he didn't have normal male genitalia and it looked like a woman, and he's probably been raised as a woman. It's sad, actually, in that respect. However, he will have internal testes, so he will go through normal male puberty, he will gain all of those advantages, and he will be as strong as a man boxing. A man in a boxing ring has 2.6 times the power of a woman when they throw a punch. This man has history. He was banned from the World Championships last night because he tested positive for being a man.
This is last year's World Championship. Yep. You failed the test somewhere or other.
Well, you never pass it once you failed it.
Why was he allowed into the Olympics?
Because the Olympics have got different rules.
Boxing is one of the many of the sports, many of the competitions, to be fair, have now banned trans women or people who could be classified as male from competing against women.
He looks a lot like a man there.
Yeah, why you need to even consider this is madness. Just to bring you back to the horror that happened in this ring, this guy came into the ring, punched this poor lady Angela Carini twice in the face. She fell to the floor sobbing, screaming, "This is unjust," and afterwards she refused to shake his hand.
This is scheduled to happen again tomorrow. There is another one of these XY DSDs who is in a fight tomorrow, and if the Olympic Committee allow it to go ahead, this Paris Olympics will be a disgrace forever. It already is.
Some wit somewhere on the internet posted, "Why would you pay money to watch an Algerian man beat up European women at the Olympics when you can walk around Paris and see that for free?" I was reassured by the cross around Novak's neck, his making the sign of the cross and shouting, "God is great," even though I'm an atheist who believes God does not take sides in tennis matches or wars, nor intervene in presidential assassination attempts, not least because he's not there. But "God is great" coming from a contemporary Christian wielding a tennis racket is not at all menacing. Allahu Akbar coming from machete-wielding Hamasians is. The kid glove treatment meted out to the latter, particularly in the United Kingdom right now, where any resistance to the illegal Islamic tide overtaking the country, controlling the streets and stabbing children, is mindlessly dismissed as far right, makes me fear for our civilization itself. It grieves me that some resistors have resorted to Antifa, that is profar, and only Black Lives Matter tactics. They have taken the bait and made matters worse for all of us, unfortunately. But make no mistake, this is the 2024 version of the 1940 Battle of Britain. It's Britannia versus Britannistan, civilization versus barbarism. Sir Keir Starlin, unlike Winston Churchill, is on the side of barbarism.
"I guarantee you will regret taking part in this disorder. This is not a protest by millions of concerned British citizens who for years have been taxed into poverty to support mass uncontrolled immigration from the Third World. British citizens who have seen their towns descend into boarded up wastelands of knife crime, crackheads, chicken shops, nail bars and Turkish barbers. British citizens who worry that it's their children who will be next to be stabbed or abused in this new vibrant melting pot of hellish dysfunction and rancour. It's none of those things. It is organised violent thuggery by marauding far-right fascist, neo-Nazi, skinhead, jackbooted, racist, goose-stepping, Hitler-worshipping, swastika-tattooed vermin. So no, I won't shy away from calling it what it is. Haven't our poor, put-upon, blameless Islamic communities suffered enough?"
All right, that's a comedian, but his comedy is 1,000% reality. And Douglas Murray, fellow gay, not in a rush to be pushed off a tall building by Hamasians, recognised this on a non-comedic level.
"The first thing is the British public is totally right. I do not want to live in a country with Hamas supporters. I want them deported. I want them chucked out. Simple. And I will do everything I can to ensure that happens. I am fed up, by the way, of the centrist dad hand-wringing era where people say, oh, but might it be against our liberal values and might our liberalism... I'm not as interested in that as I am in Britain remaining Britain. I am much more interested in that. At every time of national emergency in our nation's history, we gave something up to survive. We did in the Napoleonic Wars, we did in the wars of the 20th century, and we will have to now."
You've heard me say this sort of thing often enough. Last week, we heard something akin to it from a most unlikely source, a secondary school student in a speech competition. Which is to say, we heard it, but the school didn't, because the speech was banned. Banned because someone's feelings might get hurt, some snowflake's sensibilities might be ruffled. The school is New Plymouth Boys High. The student's name is Oliver Jull. Paul's old mate at the Pfizer platform, Sean, to his great credit, got Oliver on and put his speech up for all the world to hear. Here's a snippet.
Mass immigration and multiculturalism have disrupted the very fabric of Western societies. While diversity is often touted as enriching, the unchecked influx of immigrants has brought numerous challenges. In many Western nations, mass immigration has disrupted cultural continuity, increased violent crime, and undermined shared values. For example, according to German news source Deutsche Welle, nearly 50% of all crimes in Germany are being committed by non-German passport holders. The mixing of religions and traditions from various cultures has led to cultural clashes and a dilution of long-standing customs. Instead of fostering integration, we see the emergence of parallel societies with conflicting values and loyalties. This fragmentation disrupts the development of Western culture and weakens the sense of unity and national identity essential for a stable and prosperous society.
Happily, there was a tremendous brouhaha in reaction to the ban. Oliver has been summoned to the headmaster's office tomorrow. To be told, one can but hope that the ban has been lifted. Regardless, to Oliver Jull, in honour of his Novak's-like courage in swimming against the woke fascist tide, the Freedom Award. And please, non-existent God, let's not hear that the speech has been posted on the police's hate speech hub, to whose existence the Free Speech Union has been alerted by police officers with professionalism who object to being used as thought police. The hub includes, there are only two genders, here we go again, and John Ansell's unforgettable billboard for the National Party's 2005 campaign, Kiwi, not Iwi. Police have been told to be on the lookout for such thought crimes and record them on the hate hub. The whistleblowers know that it's the police's job to enforce law, not make it, or enforce laws that don't exist. As one of them said, police don't take reports for other matters that are not offences without good reason, and it is deeply concerning that this is now policy. The policy seems to have been introduced in a quiet, bit-by-bit manner over a number of months, which raises the question that it's been deliberately done this way to avoid public scrutiny. I did not sign up to be the thought police. In fact, I became a police officer to protect people's inherent rights, and this is deeply troubling. Bravo, that man. And to you, Police Commissioner Tosser, you woke wanker, pull your empty woke head in, preferably sling your hook altogether and sling your odious DEI with it. May this sound ring in your ears on your way out from one policeman to another. While I'm handing out awards, I'd like to introduce a new one. You'll have heard me railing against the aesthetic terrorism I regard as a threat to civilization from within, the atrocity I call fry-quacking, where, in lieu of speech, an apparent human quacks like a duck when upward inflecting, which she does constantly, and croaks like a frog when downward inflecting, which she occasionally remembers to do. Civilization cannot long withstand such excruciating sabotage. I cannot get that point through to anyone, but anyone will soon enough find that it's true. Last week, I brought you what I thought might have been the most egregious example I've ever heard. An apparent human who'd signed up for White Women for Commie Lala online. I still think it's as awful as anything I've ever heard, even worse than Commie Lala herself. Let's compare. Here's Commie Lala.
Well, let's start with this. Prices have gone up. And families and individuals are dealing with the realities that bread costs more, that gas costs more. And we have to understand what that means. That's about the cost of living going up. That's about having to stress and stretch limited resources. That's about a source of stress for families that is not only economic, but is on a daily level, something that is a heavy weight to carry. And we know from the history of this issue in the United States that when you see these prices go up, it has a direct impact on the quality of life for all people in our country.
Duh. That is one truly stupid cow. No wonder the stock market is crashing. But I digress. Here is the white woman for Commie Lala, whose fry-quacking is even worse. I'm preserving it as an award, which I shall henceforth bestow on worthy aesthetic terrorists as I see fit.
Hi, everybody. I am so honored to speak today. I am, like, shaking to just be among such incredible company. We are here because, as if you were here earlier, you've heard BIPOC women have tapped us in as white women to step up, listen, and get involved this election season. This is a really important time, and we all need to use our voices and influence for the greater good. No matter who you are all influencers in some way. So tonight, I'm going to share some do's and don'ts for getting involved in politics online and navigating the toxicity that comes with it. And spoiler alert, as much as the toxicity can come from the outside, it can come from us too.
And so to my closing music, you might have noticed that the Freedom Award, Vincero, I Will Win, from Nessun Dorma, morphed this morning from Mario to the three tenors, all of whom were inspired by Mario in their youth. You can see Jose Carreras in particular discussing this with me on YouTube 30 years ago. Just type in Carreras Perigo. The three tenors first performed this together in 1990 when they came together in Rome to celebrate Jose's victory over leukemia. He won. Here is their performance in its entirety, combined with Mario at the Vincero, the three tenors and their idol, the four tenors, reunited. And let's imagine we happy few lovers of freedom over tyranny, as it reaches its climax, that they're singing, Vinceremo, we will win. For by God the non-existent, if I have anything to do with it, we will.
Principessa, nella tua fredda on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.